Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse number 14, read down through the end of the chapter, Ephesians chapter 3, and then we'll go to verse number 14. Amen. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord. I like Sundays. Excited to be here. Good to see everybody in their place. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 14. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Lord, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture, Lord. As we bring this Bible principle, this main biblical thought, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God, to understand all that you've provided for us when you provided us salvation. So many things came with it. Most we didn't realize at the time. We didn't realize at the moment. We just knew that we were a sinner. We knew we were under conviction. We knew that Jesus had died for us. And we knew that, Lord, you were drawing us, and we wanted to be saved. But, Lord, it just seems like then you spend the rest of your life reading the Bible, understanding all of the things that came with salvation. And so, Lord, we're going to rejoice as we look at one of the benefits, Lord, of being saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want you to draw your attention back to verse number 15. I like the little phrase there, of whom the whole family, the whole family. And then it says this, in heaven and earth is named. And you know what? Just the fact that my dad passed away didn't mean that I lost a family member. He's just in a different place. Amen. The fact that my mom passed away a few years ago, you know what? I have family here and I have family in heaven. And of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In our text, we find the word family. By the way, as much as the Bible's for family and teaches about family, you know what? It might surprise you to find out that this is the only place the word family is found in all of the New Testament. It refers, listen to me, to one of three families that I'm blessed to be a part of. Yes, I have three families. By the way, most of you, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have three families. And each one, by the way, is important. And so that's what I want to draw our attention to this morning, talk about my three families. You know, family's important. And we're going to talk about three different types of family. It's good to be saved. First of all, we are blessed to have a biological family. By the way, the biological family was established by God. It's good that I take some time to read back in Genesis and review this because, folks, you know, the devil likes to take everything sacred and try to cause confusion. But, folks, God has defined the family. He established the family and he defined the family. Back in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Boy, so simple, but please listen, young people. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So, you know, that settles it. This old craziness, and it is. You know, you have to have half your brain removed to fall for this, all this nonsense and this gender confusion. Folks, listen to me. God established it. There's two genders. Not three, not four, not five, not 17, not 21, not 91. There are two genders. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, then you and God disagree. And by the way, God's right and you're wrong. Okay, because God said that he created, male and female created he them. By the way, he didn't get confused in the process. He didn't create somebody, form them in their mother's womb, and then when they're born, he looked down and went, oh my goodness, what did I do? I just put a guy in a woman's body. No, God's never made a mistake. That's a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of foolishness. It's a bunch of wickedness. And somebody with some common sense in a King James Holy Bible needs to stand up and say that. But he didn't just bring a man and a woman together in holy matrimony. The Bible goes on to say, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So it's established by God. It's defined by God. One man and one woman. By the way, becoming one through holy matrimony, joined together for the purpose of producing children and staying together till death parts them. That is God's original plan. That is how God defines the family. And by the way, I just want to blow the trumpet on this again. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Folks, I can't believe how many young couples, I mean, they're getting on and posting it for the world to see that they've made a decision. You know, here's a young couple gets married and they post a picture of them with their two dogs. And they declare to the world, these are our children. I mean, young couples, come on, Christian couples are deciding to adopt animals and call them their children and refuse to have children. You know, that is not God's plan, folks. And I'm getting to the point where I like dogs. I do. Dogs, as a general point, like me. But I'm just about getting ready to spend my life preaching against dogs. I'm sick and tired of watching people, come on, animals being elevated to people status while people are being, come on, demoted down to animal status. What in the world are we doing here? Okay, folks, listen to me. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his delight. Or a fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, I say to our young couples from time to time, my job is to fill the pulpit, your job is to fill the nursery. Amen. It's part of God's plan. So God's plan was for one man to be married to one woman. I believe, young people, please hear me, that God created someone specifically for you. I don't think there's confusion. I don't think there's happenstance. I can't imagine God being so precise in every other area of creation and leaving this to chance. And it's important, young people, that you wait for God's perfect will in a husband or God's perfect will for a wife. And you know what? Stay in the will of God. If you've got to chase a girl out of the will of God, then that's not God's purpose for your life. That's not the one. Come on, young ladies, if you've got to leave church and leave Christian home and go out into the world to find a young man, then that's not the one God created for you. You be careful about this and prayerful about this. And you want to get that right, and you want God to be able to bless it. And so we thank God for our biological families. They're established by God. They're defined by God. And let me say this, because I think it's important we say this. They also were decided by God. And every once in a while, a preacher needs to come up and say some things that I think will really help you. Well, preacher, I'm not living in a Christian home, and I'm not living in a home where I have a dad and a mom. And you know what? My circumstance is different. And I want to say this: God placed you in the family of His choosing. And again, I want to say this: God didn't make a mistake. God didn't make a mistake. You know, God put you in the family He needed you to be in, He wanted you to be in. I'm talking to the young people right now. And you may at times look at another family and maybe they, you know, have a Christian home and maybe they have two parents and maybe those parents take their kids to church and you don't have that. I want to say again, God didn't make a mistake where He placed you, okay? God doesn't make mistakes. Not everyone has the privilege of being reared in what I call a traditional Christian family. But I want you young people to listen to what I'm going to say next. You get two shots at this, okay? You know what? The family that you were born into, you didn't have any choice. You didn't get to choose that. God chose it. And by the way, I want to say it again. God didn't make a mistake. You know what? I'm glad not everyone's raised in a perfect situation. By the way, there is no perfect situation, but I'm glad not everybody's raised, I'm going to say it, I'm glad that not everybody was raised in a traditional Christian family. You know why? Because we need some people that are saved and as adults have the ability to help some of the young people that are going through the same thing. If God denied you something that you wish you had, you know what? Use that to help somebody else down the road and use that to be an encouragement to them and say, hey, you know what? If I was raised in this type of home and I chose to live for the Lord, you can be raised in that type of home and you can choose to live for the Lord. Because folks, you know what? We didn't get to choose the family we were born into, and it may not be a perfect situation, but again, maybe God just needed to put some things in you that you're going to have in your heart so that you can help somebody else down the road. And by the way, if you're denied something in the family that you were born into, then you know what? Make sure that you give that, make sure that your children are not denied the same thing. Now think about that. You get two chances at this. You know what? You didn't get to choose the family you were born into, but you know what? You can choose to marry the right person. Listen, you can choose to stay married. You can choose to have children and give them, you know what, the home environment that maybe you wish you had. You can take them to church every Sunday. Come on, you can raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You can give them stability. You can be a blessing to them. So, you know, I remember when I preached Mother's Day a couple years ago and I preached on Eve, you know. And the one interesting fact about Eve is that she's called in the Bible the mother of all living. And yet I said on that Mother's Day Sunday, I said, isn't it interesting that the mother of all living didn't have a mother? Now you think about that. The mother of all living didn't have a mother. You think about that. She didn't have anybody to go talk to. Come on, the Titus 2 principle, the aged women teaching the younger. She had no aged women in her life, no one to go to. She didn't have a mom. She didn't have a grandma. But you know what? Even though she was denied having a mother, she became the mother of all living. And I just like to bring that principle out. You know what? Whatever you were denied in life, maybe, you know what? Turn around and make sure that other people have that. Don't deny your children. I understand sometimes people are born into a drunkard's home. Look up right up here, young man. I want you to listen to me. And you might be born into a home where your dad drinks or your mom drinks or there's dope or there's all kinds of stuff in there. Well, listen to me, all right? How does that make you feel? Is that fun? Is that good? Is that a good experience? Then I don't understand why you would grow up and do that to your children. Right. Remember how you feel. Remember what that's done to your family and grow up and decide, you know what? I'm not going to do that to my kids. You know what? You can still love your mom. You can still love your dad. You can still pray for them. You can still hope that they get saved and witness to them. But there's some decisions you need to make as you grow up and say, all right, I was denied this, but I'm going to make sure my kids have it. I had to go through this. I'm going to make sure my kids aren't going to have to go through that. Some of you young people, you know what? You've been raised in a family where, you know, and by the way, my heart hurts for you and you didn't get a vote in it. But you know what? You watched your mom and dad go through a divorce. And you might be one of those kids that, you know what, I have to be here one weekend, I have to be there the other weekend. And you know at times how that makes you feel. And you know how you wish you had a mom and dad living in the same place. What I'm saying is this, okay, you didn't get to choose that. But maybe God's letting you go through that so that you'll know what it feels like. And you know what, that ought to just put fuel in your gas tank and a determination in your heart. That you know what, I'm gonna stay in church and I'm gonna wait for the right Christian young man or the right Christian young lady and I'm gonna have a marriage that's based on the scriptures and we're gonna serve the Lord together and we're not gonna let our children go through something like that. You ought to just decide in your heart that even though maybe, you know what, you were denied some things or you had to go through some things, you know what? You don't have to let your children do the same thing. And I've said this from time to time. I think I said it recently. But I'm glad that the adults in our church, and I hope you'll understand this, I'm not happy for the hurt it caused in your life, and I'm not happy because of maybe some of the memories and things you have to wrestle with. But you know what? I'm glad not everybody at Blessed Baptist Church was raised in a Christian home. I'm glad that some of you were saved later on in life. Because you have the ability to go to some of these young people that are struggling and saying, hey, I know what you're going through. I know what you're facing. And if I can live for the Lord, you can live for the Lord. And you know what? Point them to Jesus and be a help and a blessing to them. All right, so we have my biological family. I said I got three. Number two, preacher, you got a second family? Yes, I do. It's called my blood-bought family. Amen? My blood-bought family. And as I mentioned in the introduction in my prayer, you know, we get saved and then we discovered a lot of things come with being saved. You know, young people, you might come to church here and you say, you know, when we go to that church, I hear a preacher called Val, Brother Val. I hear him call Isaac, Brother Isaac. I mean, everybody's brothers. Everybody must be related in this church. Well, we are. We are. But we're not all biologically related. But you know what? We're part of the family of God. In John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he, speaking of Jesus, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Listen, but as many as received him. Now let's stop right there. Is that you? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if you can sit there and say, preacher, yes, I was saved in VBS, or I was saved in Sunday school, or I was saved in children's church, or you know what, I know Jesus as my Savior. And listen, as many as received him, that's including you, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you know what? My biological family was established by God, defined by God, and I was biologically born into that family. But you know what? I joined the family of God by adoption. Amen. Think about adopted by grace through faith. Romans chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And young people, listen to me. When you get saved, you know what? You become a part of the family of God. And when Jesus, come on, the disciples came to him and said, teach us to pray. And you know what he said? He said, our Father. You know why? Because once you receive Christ as your Savior, God becomes your Father. So you say, preacher, I don't have a dad at home. Well, you've got a dad in heaven. Amen. He may not be at home, but he's in heaven. He's your heavenly Father. And you know what? You can go to him like you could your father. Come on. He is your Father. You know what? Jesus Christ is your brother. And you know what? When you get saved, you get born into the family of God. Every Christian is part of the family of God. That's why you hear us call so-and-so, sister so-and-so, sister Darcy, sister Biber. You know, we use those terms. You know why? Because we're part of the family of God. We were joined by adoption. We were adopted by grace through faith, unified, come on, together by a heavenly Father. We all have a heavenly Father by faith in Christ. Come on, well, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. For this cause, Ephesians chapter 3, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say in the text we just read? Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now think about it. Let me stop there. In the biological family, you know what? My biological family, I have some members in heaven and I've got some members on earth. The Bible talks about that great cloud of witnesses up there. Amen. My spiritual family, my blood-bought family, you know what? I've got some members in heaven, some members on earth. That's why one of the things I wanted to do for our 50th anniversary was just create that memory wall and for a year just put up some pictures of some folks that, you know what, used to be members here. You know what? They're part of my blood-bought family, my biological or my blood-bought family. And some of them on that wall is my biological family. But you know what? We're all a part of the family of God. And it goes on to say that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. We've got this wonderful connection with other believers. You know, folks, it's amazing when you become a part of the blood-bought family of Christ because we have the same Father, because we have the same Savior. Watch this. This is big. Because we all have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? I can, you know, you've done it on vacation. You've taken off and taken trips. And maybe you picked a church that you've never been to before. And yet you walk in that church. And you know what? It doesn't take you very long before you start feeling at home. you begin to strike up conversations with people. And you know what? You feel the bearing witness of the Holy Spirit. Hey, they're part of the family. They're part of the family. I think it's neat that no matter where you go in this world, you can strike up a conversation. You can walk into a church house that preaches salvation by grace through faith. You can interact with people of like faith. And you know what? All of a sudden, it's like, you know what? You discovered part of your family that you've never met yet. And there's this unity that comes through the Spirit. I love that. I'm going to say something. All right, listen to me. My grandpa Ogle, I don't know if he was saved or not. I pray I get to heaven, he was saved. He was a hard one to try to talk to about it. I tried several times. He would just shut me down, and he's just a hard one to talk to about it. The only thing he said to me ever, as far as a real answer, was he just told me once, "Jerry, listen, I don't want to talk about that." He said, "I took care of that, and I'm okay." Now, what does that mean? I have no idea. A lot of people think they have taken care of it, and what they're talking about isn't the same thing the Bible's talking about. But I pray. You know, I know he attended church as a young man. I know that he attended church as a young adult for a while. But I don't know anything else. He just really wouldn't talk about it. That's kind of part of that generation, to be honest with you. When it came to the spiritual things and private things, they just wouldn't talk to you about it. And he just wouldn't. But, you know, one of the things that he had been involved in, because his dad was involved in it, look right up here, is that he walked there. He always had this ring on. And he'd from time to time would have told me about this ring. And I look back now and I understand why he was trying to do this. It was a ring that showed that he was a member of the Masonic Lodge. And I remember from time to time he would show me that ring. And I think he was in hopes that, maybe his dad was part of it. You know, he was a part of it. You know, mom and dad wouldn't have anything to do with it. So he was going to jump over and try to get the grandkids involved in it, I think. And Bobby's the only one that joined. You know, he's the only one that joined the Masonic Lodge. But the rest of us resisted, you know. But one of the things he'd try to sell me on was he'd say, "You see that ring right there?" He said, "Now look, think about this." He said, "I could be on a vacation driving to Colorado." And he said, "My car broke down in Nowheresville, Oklahoma." He said, "I could walk into a shop or I could look around town a little bit and I could just kind of show this ring. And you know what? I've got people connected with this Masonic Lodge, my brothers." That's what he called them, my brothers. Think about that. Isn't it interesting? Man's always trying to create something that mimics what God would give them if they just get saved. And you know what? I wouldn't have to show this very many places. I could walk into a couple stores, maybe into a bar, and I'd flash this around. And let me tell you something. I'd have people come out and they'd help me and make sure my car got fixed. I got to think about that later on, you know, not at that time, it didn't occur to me. But as I thought back on that conversation, I thought, folks, I'm telling you right now, that's true for a Christian, any place you go in this country. And I don't have to have a little magic ring that I got out of a Cracker Jack box. Woo, Cracker Jack. Couldn't remember his middle name, amen. Cracker Jack box to do it. You know what? The honest truth is, I've had people in this area, you know, I'd get a call and they're like, "Hey, I got a member of my church and they were coming through your area and they're broke down. Hey, man, we'll be old. Let me make a couple calls." You know what? Christians take care of Christians. You know, we're good to each other. You know why? We're family. We're part of the blood-bought family. You know, we ought to be good to everyone. The Bible says especially them are of the household of faith. So he said, yeah, help everybody you can help. But listen, if they're a member of the household of faith, then you know what? If you can do, then do for them. If you can help, then help them. And I got thinking years later, I wish he was alive or I could go back and say, "Grandpa, I got something better than that. I didn't. You know what? I got it through the Lord Jesus Christ." You know why? Because I ended up with three families. I got my biological family. I got my blood-bought family. Now think about that. You know, folks, I want to tell you this. Blood-bought family doesn't end at the borders of the United States of America. You know, we just talked about on Wednesday night, all kindreds, all tongues, all nations will one day worship before the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really something. If you ever get a chance to go to a mission field, it's an experience. But years ago, I've been to Mexico probably 7 or 8 times in my life. And I remember still the first time we went down there and the first time we went to a church. And you know what? They opened their songbooks and they began to sing. And I recognized the tune, but I didn't recognize the words, not the way they were singing them. But all of a sudden, they'd give the introduction to Amazing Grace, and those precious Mexican people would sing out in the Spanish language, and they'd sing, and I'd be singing in English, they're singing in Spanish. And next thing you know, I just stopped singing and listened to them, just tears coming down my eyes. I'm thinking, you know what, these are my brothers. These are my sisters. You know, the government can't figure out how to solve the race problem. Let me tell you how you solve the race problem. Preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we want everybody to be one part of one big family. Well, they can be through Jesus Christ. They're not going to be any other way. How is all the government's efforts working? Matter of fact, I think a lot of the efforts are an effort to cause race division in our country. You know, years ago, me and my wife, we went over to the Philippines, and the church sent us, and I'm so thankful for that. Edgar Nono, Brother Nono, we support him. Amen. Called me and wanted me to come preach to a big teen camp over there, and I really didn't want to go. So he said, I want you to at least pray about it. And I wouldn't promise him that I'd pray about it. I just kept avoiding that. When I got off, my wife said, so we are going or not? I said, oh, well, I'm supposed to pray about it. Well, are you going to? No, because I think God will tell me I have to go, and I really don't want to go. You know, I mean, it's probably exciting when you're in your 20s and 30s, but the idea of getting on an airplane and going 18 hours around the rest of the world. You know, everybody says, how's your trip? Don't ever ask me how my trip was. Ask me how it went when I got there, if I enjoyed it while I was there. Always do. The trip always stinks, all right? Nothing fun about it. I'm convinced that the CEO of every airline in America about 15 years ago went into a secret meeting somewhere, and they said, how can we take every pleasure out of flying? It's the only meeting that they ever succeeded at, because they have pretty much taken every pleasure out of flying. But here we flew that distance, and then got to spend those days. Oh, my goodness sakes. First Sunday morning we were there, Brother Nono's church. He kept asking me. You know, I told him later, you can't say no-no to Brother Nono. Here I am, okay? Got in that Filipino church, and all of a sudden there they lift their voices up. Whew. And what are you doing, preacher? I'm looking around. They're all coming up and greeting me. Now, in the Philippines, English is pretty much their strong second language. And so I could speak in English. Most of the time they could converse with me with English, especially the younger ones, younger couples and stuff. But, boy, when they'd sing, I don't know what language it is, but, boy, I'm going to tell you what, me and my wife both, tears run down our eyes. You know, I greet those folks. Half the time I wouldn't even know what they were talking about. But you know what? I felt a kindred spirit. I realized these are my brothers. These are my sisters. Okay? And here we are halfway around the world. Went out to that camp, big pavilion, outdoor pavilion. Over 1,000 teenagers showed up to that camp in the middle of nowhere. Listen, there wasn't a dorm. There wasn't a cabin. There wasn't any place to stay. Every one of them brought their own tents, their own sleeping bags, and all their own food for the week. And the church would sit there. Each church would cook a meal and feed their own people while they were there. It was incredible. I mean, you literally look every direction. There's tents everywhere. And you know what? I thought, try to get American teens to do this, you know. That's 1,000 teenagers, probably another 300 or 400 adults and college-age students that had come to help with the camp. And it was just remarkable. And boy, that we preached that first night. On the very first service, over 200 Filipino teenagers came forward and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. As we preached and challenged the young people, the Christian young people during the week, I wish I could have taken pictures, and I did, and we could have videotaped some of it. I don't think we took videotape, but there's something about, I'm going to tell you what, they would flood the aisle. They would fill the front of the auditorium. Me and my wife one time stepped out of the pavilion because literally we had to make room for the people coming forward to make decision. We stood outside, and for 20 minutes we just listened to them sob and wail and weep, getting right with the Lord, getting things clean in their life. I mean, I get goosebumps thinking about it. I would go back in there, and they would have a big area the area in front of the pulpit, as far as just for them to do business with the Lord, is probably as big as this section right here, as long as that section, filled with teens, filled down the aisle. And we walk back in, and the lights are shining. It's after dark, and it looks like somebody just mopped the floor. You see the reflection of the light because they had completely soaked that cement floor with their tears. And I thought to myself, you don't, please, this sound, I hate to say this. But I wanted to say to those precious Filipino Christians, don't look to America for anything. Don't look to America for anything. I think American Christians need to come over here and learn something from you. But you know what, folks? I mean, you know what? We laughed with them. We ate with them. We sang with them. We wept with them. We fellowshipped with them. And you know what? When I left, it was like leaving family. Why are you sharing this, preacher? Because listen, when you get saved, something comes with it. And you know what? It's being experienced in every nation amongst every kindred. And one of these days, we're all going to gather, come on, before the throne of grace, and we're all going to praise the Lord. And it's not going to matter where we came from. All that's going to matter is that we are unified through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You think about that. Wow. Mexico, come on, think about it. Preacher, you like going out to the Navajo Indian Reservation. I do. Went to Brother Joel Haynes' church, and you know what? They got two songbooks, the English songbook and the Navajo songbook. And they'll sing a couple songs in English, and then, you know, they'll say, pick up your Navajo songbook. And once again, blessed assurance. I know the tune, but they're singing it in that Navajo tongue. And you say, preacher, those are savages out there. I know. I lived so scared the whole time I was out there. I knew Ryan Nez was going to try to scalp me one night. You can't trust Ryan Nez. You can't turn your back on it. No, listen to me. Those are my brothers. Yeah. When I see Brother Nez, every time I see him, I'll holler across, hey, it's my brother from another mother. You say, man alive, you two are like, yeah. You know what produced that? The Democrats and their social agenda. No, that don't produce that. You know what produced that? A saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's indwelt with the same Holy Spirit I'm indwelt with. He has the same Father that I have. He has the same Savior that I have. He has the same book that I have. Man, why wouldn't we feel like we belong, like we're part of the family? And so the unity of the Spirit, no matter where in this world you meet God's people, there is a sweet oneness that you feel in the presence of other Christians, and that is produced by the unity of the Spirit. So I have my biological family. I have my blood-bought family. And then here's another one, the last one. Preacher, what's your third family? I have my local church family. My local church family. And by the way, that is part of my blood-bought family, but it's very unique. And the fact that, you know what, God's plan for reaching the world was through the local New Testament church. Now think about that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So I, you know what, joined my biological family through birth. I joined my blood-bought family through adoption. I joined my local church family through addition. Through addition, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. Boy, it's good for us to read this. Listen, when they came together in that first church that was founded in Jerusalem, folks, listen to me, their church family meant something to them. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of a local New Testament church. I happened to be wandering around praying for our missionaries. I was done a little early, making sure I was going over my notes. I had a little extra time, and I spent almost every Sunday some time, but I had some extra time. I was able to text some of our missionaries and some encouragement, read their letters. There's a couple of them that had videos that I was able to go online and watch their video. And just, I spent probably 20 minutes back there just rejoicing. Folks, listen to me. It's so exciting to be able to have a worldwide missions program. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving to worldwide missions. But I was back there, and then I went to the track rack. I always want to make sure our track rack is stacked up. I wrote a track. We haven't had it out for a while, but entitled, Let Me Get This Straight. Let me get this straight. You're saved, but you don't go to church. That's the title of the track. It's got a picture of a church with one of those red circles with a slash through it. We've got a whole bunch of Christians out there that have decided that, you know what, church is not essential. Church is not important. They'll say things like this, well, I have a problem with organized religion. Well, no, you got a problem with God. You got a problem with the Bible. Because, you know what, this local New Testament church was not any man's idea. The concept of the local New Testament church does not come from the mind of a man or the heart of a man. It was established by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? The church is important. Every single person needs to be a part of a local assembly. And I will tell you, there's so many benefits that come with that. And you know what? I have been the recipient of a lot of the benefits that come from being just part of a local church family. I want to say thank you to the church. I don't know how it was done and exactly who organized everything, but when me and my wife was up there at the hospital and then living in a prophet's chamber just down the road from the hospital, you know what? The pastor of that church finally came to me and he said, listen, why don't you and your wife just go get the mail every day? We're not going to get it because 90% of the mail every day is for you and your wife. It's not for the church anyway. And then just leave what's in for the church there. And he was laughing. I said, okay, I can do that, you know. Well, what is that? That's being a recipient of being a part of a local assembly. You know, when you go through things, you know, you don't have to go through them alone. You know why? Because the Bible gives us, I mentioned this the other day, one another, what I call one another responsibilities. You read through the epistles written to the church, and when you join a church, you join and have some responsibilities. I want you to look up here because we don't talk enough about this. People just treat church membership as if, well, where do I sign and where do I get my card, and then act as if there's no responsibilities that come with it. There are responsibilities that come with being a church member. It's responsibilities financially to support your local assembly. You have a responsibility, come on, to the other members of the church to fulfill what the Bible calls one another, come on, one another responsibilities. We're to prefer one another, serve one another, love one another, receive one another, admonish one another, greet one another, provoke one another to good works, forbear one another, forgive one another, comfort one another, edify one another, consider one another, exhort one another. How are we going to do that if we're only here about three services a month? There's no way you can fulfill your responsibilities and not be faithful to church. You know, folks, I'm glad that I have a local church family. As soon as we got saved, come on, at the Rock Run Baptist Church, you know what we did within a week or two after the preacher met with mom and dad? We joined the church we got saved in. Amen. And you know what? We were baptized by the pastor that led us to Christ. And then we joined the church. Salvation, baptism, church membership. That's the way it works. And so we joined by addition. And then because we came a part of a local church, we received a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about this. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Here's the promise. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you know what? This is one of the most wonderful things. One of the greatest gifts that God gave us as Christians is a local assembly. Some place we can go. The very word church, if you'll look at it, the very word church means a called out assembly. Well, I'm not a part of a local church. I'm part of the invisible church. You'll get that every once in a while. The invisible church, okay? You know you're not, because the very word church means called out assembly. Okay? When do you assemble with your invisible brethren, okay, in your invisible church? Now, that's just a bunch of hogwash. You know, folks, listen to me. You need the church. I need the church. I need to be a blessing to my church. I've got the responsibility to support the church financially, support the members of the church. Come on, to support our pastor and pray for him and help to hold up his arms and encourage him in his leadership. Pray for him. We have responsibilities, folks, to our church. This church has been empowered by Jesus Christ. We have a promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. If we'll join together in unity, you know what? And go out every week and spread the gospel. You know what? The devil quakes in fear. When the church, come on, unifies together, gets behind the pastor in this program and just say, hey, let's just fulfill the Great Commission. Let's go out and get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. The church was created for a divine purpose. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Why do this? Why assemble? Why listen to a preacher preach three times a week? Why come to Sunday school? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? What's the goal? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When your preacher says the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus, it's based on the Bible. Why do we come to church? So that we can learn more how to be like him. So that we can become, allow him to bring us together in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to grow us up into a mature or a perfect man and to the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. And folks, let me just tell you, the unstable Christians and the Christians that are easily led astray and the Christians that don't have a solid foundation are the Christians that don't faithfully attend church. And they can just be so easily deceived because they're not grounded in the work of the Lord. But speaking the truth in love, listen, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I just wanted to say this morning, I'm glad to be a part of a local New Testament church. I'm glad to be able to join with brothers and sisters in Christ to accomplish a divine mission. A divine mission. And that mission was given to us when Jesus, right before he ascended, you know what he said? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Listen, you know what? Preacher, I just don't feel like I just don't feel like a real strong part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, are you coming? Are you participating? Come on, are you on the front lines trying to win people to Christ? Are you involved in ministries of outreach? It's so easy. It's almost like people don't want to be a part and be involved. They want to sit over by themselves and then they want to say, well, you know what? People need to come make me feel a part. So you want us to all quit what we're doing, come over and sit with you? Here's an idea. Why don't you get up and come over and get busy with us? Amen. The church isn't there so that 15 people can position themselves, come on the parameters of the church and try to woo people to them. The church is supposed to be a place of unity. We come together to accomplish a divine mission. And by the way, it's amazing. Well, I don't feel close to people. You know, go to these old veterans gatherings. Come on, go to these old World War II gatherings in Vietnam. You know what they? You know why there's a brotherhood there? Come on, because they served together. Because they fought together. And you know who I'm going to be the closest to in this church? The people that come and serve beside me. Stand and fight, come on, not against me, not with me. But why don't we join together and fight the devil, amen? That's who you're going to feel close to. When you serve together in the winning of souls, you form a bond as you co-labor together with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, years ago, I went off to Bible college. You've heard me tell this story. I won't go into it. But, you know, for 6 years, I did any inner city Chicago ministry. And when I talk about going into the devil's backyard and stealing his kids, we did it every weekend. That's not an exaggeration. But you know what? After doing that for 6 years, you know what? You know the people that I've just got this bond with? I mean, that's been a long time ago. That's been over 30 years ago. But you know what? If I meet somebody that I went up there and fought in the front lines, I got to see Miss Biber's dad at the National Sword of the Lord Conference. Brother Rusty drove over. And he drove over to hear the preaching and be a part of it, but he drove over knowing I was there. And he wanted to come and support me because he knew I was preaching at it. But you know, we sat together in every service and we went out to eat. And you say, preacher, well, why do you have this bond? Because you know what? We went to the front lines together. We served together. We prayed together. We saw people saved together. Come on. I mean this. I want the church to listen to me. If you're doing nothing and you're upset because people won't come and do nothing with you, you got to get your thinking fixed. Okay? Because the way you get close and get is to get involved. The way you get close is to serve together. You know, stop trying to draw people away because of your selfishness. Why don't you get involved, and then you'll start feeling more of a part. The preacher's trying to help you this morning. Amen. All right. You know, those of you that serve in the bus ministry together, there's a bond there. I mean, those of you that serve in the same route together, there's a bond. But even the ones that are on different routes, there's a bond because you've got this common denominator. You're all out there on the front lines doing the same thing, praying for each other, trying to win people to Christ. There's a bond that comes with it. You know, Operation Occupation, there's a bond that comes with it. You know, we switch off every year and try to get, you know, new partners, and you get to spend another year knocking doors with somebody. And God puts your heart together. Hey, you know what? That's how you grow together in the spirit of unity, okay? And so think about that. Well, preacher, I don't know. Listen to me. I got my biological family. And by the way, folks, listen to me. I'll say this when it comes to the local church. There's a lot of people that have given me this testimony. Preacher, you know, I got a biological family. I got a blood-bought family. I got a local church family. But honestly, I'm closer to my local church family than I am a lot of my biological family. And you know what? I'm sorry, but it's stronger bonds. Blood's thicker than water. Yeah. How about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. But, you know, I want to just leave you with these words. Okay? Jesus kind of clarified some things when he was talking about the biological family compared to those that seek and do the will of God. In Matthew 12, verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. So he's preaching. He's speaking to the people. Come on, he's proclaiming the kingdom of God. And his mom, this is his biological family, is over here sending people in saying, hey, they want you to quit doing this, and they want you to come out there. Your family's out there. They're waiting for you. They want you to stop, and they want you to come be with them. And Jesus said something. Think about this. Okay, I didn't write this, by the way. I think some people are convinced every time I read this, you know, I'm trying to trick them somehow. I believe this. Then said one unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, he said this, who is my mother and who are my brethren? This is Jesus. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. And folks, you know what he was saying? He was saying, yes, we have a biological family. And you know what? There's certain responsibilities that come with that. But you know what? There's another family I'm a part of. And the people that I'm closest to, who are they? Watch this. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. Preacher, who are the Christians you're the closest to? Well, the ones I choose because I like them better than I like you. And that's what the devil will set on your shoulder and tell you. How about this? How about the ones that I serve with? How about the ones that will get involved? How about the ones that will become a part? If you want to feel a closeness to your local church, then you know what? Grow up past, well, the local church is there to give me what I need. And graduate to a mature Christian view of it. No, the local church is there to give me a chance to serve and to be a blessing to others. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for the families that you've given me, Lord. I want to thank you for, dear God, the mom and dad that you gave me, brothers and sisters that you gave me, Lord, the grandparents you gave me, Lord, the biological family, Lord, and not perfect. But Lord, I've learned from each and every one so many things, and I've been helped and blessed to have them in my life. And Lord, I want to thank you that, dear God, as just a little boy, Lord, I was adopted into the blood-bought family. And Lord, I decided one day to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't understand all that came with it, but Lord, thank you for all I've enjoyed and all I've experienced. And Lord, I can drive anywhere in this country or in this world and walk into the back door of a gospel preaching church and can, after church, begin to talk to people, and there's this kindred spirit. It's wonderful to have a blood-bought family, a Christian family. And Lord, then thank you for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love being a part of this church. You know, I go to other churches sometimes, and it's a blessing to meet some of my blood-bought family, but there's nothing like this church, because this is my church. This is the one that you have given me to be a part of and to participate in. And Lord, there's always going to be a sweetness and a special closeness in this local assembly that I'll never quite feel anywhere else. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'll rejoice in our hearts to be a part of these three families. If there's someone here, Lord, that has never received Christ, I pray that they'd get saved today. Lord, they could become a part of the blood-bought family. We pray these things in Jesus' name.